Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. We have Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. He's in the Colorado area, so thank you so much for being back on the show, Chief. We appreciate it. And also, our resident special forces badass, Scott Steyer, former Delta Force, former Green Beret. And, you know, he's got a very interesting perspective. Matter of fact, I was picking stories that would be in his wheelhouse for today. I can't wait. Two of them, huh? Yeah, I can't wait to hear. Your mic's open, Scott, so we can hear what you're saying. If you're, you know, I mean, yeah, okay.
I was looking at two of them, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I want to hear your advice, because the first story involving the dude running away from the guy with the rifle and stuff. And I want to get your input on that. I have an inclination of what, I mean, I go with odds and percentages that would not have been, hopefully, you know, a lot of times, look, you can have everything, all the best plans in the book, but you know, I've seen guys that when you're under pressure or when it goes down, you behave completely different than what you thought you would, or if you were trained that way with any good training, you're usually going to perform in a specific way. But anyhow, I can't wait to hear how Scott unpacks that one. I do want to mention our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And then we've got our satellite sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com. And they've got us on satellite radio since May the 5th. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Scott's company. They're our arm sponsor. Great product line. And we got a commercial coming up involving them. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor, and thanks to them, we're streaming over 1 million followers right now on social media. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and then FisherOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter, and guess where it's at? It's in Orlando, which is where Disney World is at. So next time you guys are taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, give them the credit card. Hook them up, let them have a great time, and then hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, he does alligator hunting. You can catch and relocate the famous Florida alligator. I can tell that's what Scott's thinking about. So hook up with Zach at FisherOrlandoBass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And also Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now here's what we're going to be talking about today, guys. We have two main topics. The first one, FBI swoops in Virginia. Arrest is made in a 5-year-old DC pipe bomb mystery. We're going to be covering that. Yes, it's finally happened. And then we have another one, another main topic, a deeper one. There's two judges that ghost Capitol Hill. The Senate takes aim at rogue jurists blocking the Trump agenda. And it's about freaking time. And then we got some interesting stuff going on with the former Florida Attorney General, Ashley Moody. Florida and Tennessee senators, they're pushing a 5-year prison term for doxing federal agents. And then we've got her back in the mix again. Florida and Missouri senators, they moved the double penalties for attacks on ICE agents as assault spike. So we've got a couple of things that Ashley Moody's involved in. I'm very impressed. We got a man faces no charges. And how in the world did that happen, Chief? A guy faces no charges after he raises a BB rifle that looked like it went to AK-47 at a Colorado Springs police officer, and he draws fire. And two people get hit, and it ain't the bad guy. And then we got deputies rule justified in the fatal shootout with a murder suspect who took a woman hostage. I can't wait to get Scott's input on that. We got Rosemount police chief resigns after they do an anonymous employee survey. And I guess they didn't like what the anonymous survey said, and so they canned the chief. El Centro police officers fatally shoot a suspect in a stolen car when he drives towards the officers. And if we have time to get to it, a wrongful death lawsuit filed against the Fort Wayne Police Department after the fatal shooting of a woman who had two knives in her hand. So there you go. We got 6.5 minutes. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and start off with the first main topic, TampaFreePress.com. And we've got actually two articles talking about the same thing. They just were kind of updated. So the first title is FBI Swoops in Virginia, Arrest Made in the 5-year-old DC pipe bomb mystery. And then the next article with a little bit more information, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announces that Brian Cole Jr. is charged in the January 6th pipe bomb plant. Now, I have for years loved Dan Bongino. And I was a big fan of the Dan Bongino show. Bongino left, and now he's a deputy director for the FBI, working under Kash Patel. You know, I still think that Bongino should have kept the show. He's not in the limelight a lot over there, and he was able to do. I like what he was able to do where he was at. That said, he did a lot of talking about this January 6th pipe bomber and some theories about, look, why this guy wasn't in jail. I have a lot of questions, especially now knowing how they caught this guy. That's like, I mean, look, there's different. I mean, we're not all created equal, even as detectives, but my gosh, I mean, doing the geo-tracking and the pinging on phones and stuff, and when you had the locations of when and where these bombs were placed, and then you got video. I mean, it's just 101, and apparently they replaced the investigators in order to get the job done. So I'd like to find out if these were DEI hires that were in charge of the investigation in the first place. But federal authorities arrested Brian Cole Jr. on Thursday, marking the first major breakthrough of the nearly five-year investigation into the pipe bombs that were placed outside both the Democratic headquarters and the Republican headquarters on the night before the January 6th Capitol riot. Now, Attorney General Pam Bondi, she confirmed the identity of the suspect who's been charged with explosives offenses, and also following the arrest of the FBI agents, they swarmed a cul-de-sac in Virginia. Now, this guy supposedly lives with his parents, but they were observed searching a residence and also a vehicle trunk. The arrest closes a significant gap in the investigation of the January 6th siege. And for years, the identity of this guy, hooded figure, surveillance videos, it was initially, you know, poor quality, then they kind of cleaned it up. And there was FBI analysis of cell tower data and shoe purchases, because they could identify the shoe he had on. Only about 25,000 pairs sold, if I remember correctly, and thousands of video files they looked through. And while the bombs did not detonate, officials have said that they were still bona fide devices that were potentially lethal. The case had previously stalled, fueling conspiracy theories regarding the subject's identity and motive and cover-ups and all that stuff. And authorities indicated that additional charges against this bad guy named Cole are possible as the investigation continues. So that's what we're talking about. Dr. Schultz.
I just wonder, since the Democrats have been on the wrong side of public safety issues for a long time, at least the national figures, I wonder when they're going to come out supporting anarchists who like to bomb public places. It seems like they're, you know, anything that the Trump administration does, all of a sudden they're defending all the people. So it'll be interesting to see how the left-wing press handles this. This guy was 25, if I did my math right, when this incident occurred. He's apparently still lived with his parents, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. So I'm not going to automatically say that.
Come on.
You're being nice. Down in his basement when the search warrant was served. And, and the delay, silence is always, it's a vacuum that gets filled with conspiracy theories. And when you see these young, inexperienced people, and he didn't get rid of his phone because they, you know, were still able to link it to him. He didn't, you know, put his tennis shoes in the trash can. He didn't do anything to cover his tracks. And you're right. It was tedious, but it was basic investigation stuff. There was no like super secret spy stuff that got this case solved. So you wonder if he really was solo or whether he was just duped. And I'm not trying to inspire any new conspiracy theories, but if there was somebody that could be used to foment suspicion or anarchy, this guy seems like a good candidate to have been used by somebody else. So that's an aspect of the investigation that I hope that they'll dig into. I'm sure they are.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think you said what everybody was really thinking, like, he's living in the basement with his parents, you know, kind of like the typical, you know, woke loser who's, I like to call most of them the useful idiots, the ones that they can get to, you know, believe in, you know, men can be women can be men and play in sport, you know, those types, you know. But yeah, it does. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And for me, it's like, where was the sense of, to me, there was no sense of urgency to find this guy. Now, it could have been just incompetence or whatever, and they just couldn't do it. But it just seemed like they just kind of brushed it away. Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't working behind the scenes. I understand that. But it's like you said, the silence, whenever there's nobody talking about it, you know, people start to fill in the gaps. And so I was like, man, why this guy's not caught? There's video. There's everything. He's in Washington, D.C. There's more cameras everywhere. There's all this going on. What's going on here? I'm really excited to hear once they start digging what they find out.
Yeah. I mean, and look, with the there's a lot of stuff that's out now. I mean, the Marshal's office has had the cell phone ping going on for a while, but after January 6th, everybody knows about it. That's how they identified a lot of the guys that were there at the Capitol when that happened on January the 6th. And I was supposed to be there with a neighbor buddy of mine. And if I would have gone and taken my cell phone, they certainly would have known that I would have been there. They would have been paying me a visit. And I probably would, you know, wouldn't have been doing this show for quite a while. So that's the way all that stuff goes down. So how do you had an agent and they've got the ability to do the cell phone pinging and stuff at the times of all the stuff going down, there's just no excuse. These guys should be working in Anchorage, Alaska when they find out. And I want to find out who the new investigators were. Guys, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And look, when you're looking for gear, you have a lot of choices. And when you throw the online mix, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here is about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company better that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please go to our title sponsor at Gauls.com to make your purchase. And they're even going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They're going to give you a radio code. It's radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. So again, type in radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Amazing opportunity. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls at Gauls.com. All right, now we're going to be talking about Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. But before I go there, let's jump over to Compliant Technologies. You know, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. And their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. They said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm, or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com. They have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. This is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz in Colorado and also a resident Green Beret Delta Force operator, Scott Steyer. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We left off talking about our main topic. Chief Schultz, you are back in the game.
Well, two things. One is it's interesting the defense is possibly going to claim that this knucklehead was pardoned along with all the other January 6th offenders. So that's an interesting tack. The other question I have is where was the Secret Service? Maybe they don't routinely take care of the security at the convention venues, but the vice president was there at the time that this guy was putting these bombs around. I know they do the dog thing, and I didn't hear anything about the ATF being involved in this investigation. And I have high regard for the ATF when it comes to bomb investigations. They are the go-to agency. It's centralized training down in Redstone. But I do appreciate the fact that they said they brought in investigators from other places. We usually talk about, you know, local agencies reaching out to the FBI for assistance, and the FBI reached out to local agencies for some kind of different experience. I really appreciate that. And I think it's a great sign of the way that law enforcement can cooperate.
Right. Well, I think you almost have to. I mean, think about, you know, they're there. They have, you know, their own, I'm sure, intelligence, video cameras, their own officers, and their own manpower to get out and, you know, ask questions and do interviews. It's just interesting that PAC was there for 17 hours before they even anybody raised any kind of flags, like, what is this, you know, this bag here for? At least on one of them. I don't know if it was on both of them.
And you know, it's a, I remember the units, I remember the call and seeing the video of the units going by and doing the inspections on one of the bus benches where the device was found. But yeah, a lot of questions. And I hope that they're forthcoming with the information. I even read that they were trying to get law enforcement, some experienced law enforcement guys to step in and the double check the work the FBI had done to see whether they had missed anything. But just from what I'm hearing, it's just like, this is kind of like embarrassing. I'm glad that they took the steps necessary in order to, it's just 101 investigative stuff. So, and then while we're talking, we have Betty Dunn trying to, she wants to get a hold of a book from the, you know, from Chief Schultz. So I'll have to figure out a way to hook them up as well. But Chief, final words.
Just this interagency cooperation is really important. And I don't know, Chip, if the FBI ever came to Detective DeBlock to ask for advice. but I think that's probably pretty unusual, but I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, they did say, I mean, I read that they were going to be getting outside law enforcement to double check it. I read it in one of these stories. I think that was today, but it just, you know, if I was put in charge of an investigation, especially after, I mean, look, I've known about the pinging and data on cells for quite a while. We always kept that a little under the radar. Because our Marshall brethren, that's how they were tracking all these escaped prisoners and got guys that were really the worst of the worst, you know. But after January 6th, that cat's out of the bag. But that said, it's relatively, I mean, there's subpoenas involved and stuff, but it's relatively easy, especially if you have a GPS location and you're not just pinging off the three towers, and then you got specifics, and then you've got two locations, and you've got the time that the device or the timeline the device is put there. And there's only going to be a limited number, especially at the time when there was like not a lot of foot traffic out there when they were done. It's not rocket science, you know? So I'm really intrigued by what they're going to come up with on this. So we'll have to see.
But you got to understand the DOJ was busy investigating the senators and representatives to see what their ties were to January 6th. So they had a lot on their plate.
Oh yeah, there was an insurrection with people who have no weapons, no nothing. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty funny.
Well, guys, I want to touch on this next one. It's another deep one, but I do want to get to the videos. But Tampa FP.com, which is the Tampa Free Press, judges ghost Capitol Hill. Senate takes aim at rogue judges blocking Trump agenda. So two empty chairs will greet lawmakers on Capitol Hill this week. And of course, it happened, setting the stage for a tense Senate hearing explicitly branded as an inquiry into holding rogue judges accountable. So here's the two judges, and the names might sound familiar. So we have U.S. District Judges Judge James Boasberg, who, you know, that guy has got one of the worst names in the country right now. And then Judge Deborah Boardman, both central figures in recent legal battles against the Trump administration. They declined invitations to testify, which means that they refused to. Their refusal will do little to cool the rhetoric as Republican critics accuse the jurist of judicial tyranny and engaging in partisan activism from the bench. Horrible stuff. So the heart of the controversy is a series of rulings that have stalled key White House initiatives. Judge Boasberg, he's drawn ire for restricting the administration's use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelans, and perhaps more explosive are questions surrounding his alleged involvement with that Arctic Frost investigation, which Chief Joel Schultz just mentioned, the FBI probe that reportedly tracked the communications of nearly a dozen Republican lawmakers. Senator Ron Johnson has publicly questioned the legality of the non-disclosure orders issued by Boasberg, because he didn't want anybody to find out about it happening, which is another huge flag in connection with that. Boasberg faces, or Boardman faces, similar scrutiny. Her critics point to her decision to block efforts from restricting the birthright citizenship as evidence of overreach. She also ruled against the administration on issues ranging from data access for the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, to funding for AmeriCorps programs. And former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Tom Dupree, he weighed in on the standoff, noting that the judge's refusal to appear is entirely predictable. And he says, I can promise you that the last thing in the world that they want to do is answer questions under oath from United States senators. And that's what he said on Fox News Live. He suggested that while the judges might skip the hot seat, the Senate's investigation would likely press forward by calling other witnesses to examine the substance of controversial rulings. Now, I got to say that in the article that just came out, Judge Robert Conrad, director of the Administrative Office for the U.S. Courts, he informed Senator Ted Cruz of the decision in a letter dated November the 12th, he issued or argued that compelling the judges to explain their decision-making processes would actually violate constitutional boundaries. So I was surprised to see that. He said it would encroach upon the separation of powers and the independence of the judiciary for the judges to appear and testify about the respective deliberation process of reaching judicial decisions. And he cited the code of conduct for state for United States judges. So there's always that too. Guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Now we're talking about and introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision, Scott's company at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence that's now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-weight platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also our Special Forces operative, Scott Steyer. So thanks for being on the show, guys. We appreciate it. I'm trying to remember here where we left off at. I think we just got into the second main topic. And the first one, of course, we were talking about our DC pipe bomber that has been found out, and he's in a world of hurt right now. So on the second main topic, guys, any commentary on that, or Dr. Schultz?
Well, first of all, I had 2 seconds left, so I noticed you muted my mic before I got the last zinger in on you. But I don't mind seeing these things litigated. This interplay between the three branches, I don't think has been tested as severely as it has since 1803 in the Marbury versus Madison. You know, where does the presidential power end? Where does congressional authority, judicial authority? So, you know, we have to put these things through the strainer of litigation. I don't mind that. It is highly suspicious, and I don't like judges operating under the threat of impeachment. But it is highly suspicious when you see the same judges' names show up, which is evidence of anti-Trump litigators seeking out these particular judges. But I think the argument that it is somewhat self-correcting without the meddling of Congress, because these guys are routinely overturned on appeal. You've said before, why would judges, knowing that they're going to get spanked, why would they continue to make these decisions that they know are going to get overturned on appeal? That's another red flag. You get the same judges, you get repeated appeals. But so there is a self-correcting system there. And it's not too distressing to me for some of these things to be slowed down and put through the judicial sieve in order to clarify these constitutional issues that have been around for, 250 years.
Yeah. Activist judges. Wow. So anyhow, thank you. That's some good insight. And we'll continue the cover because I'm sure that they're not going anywhere, you know. So, but the name Boasberg and the other one was it Boardman, that the female, those names are just etched in my brain now. Guys, if you're ready, let's cover the story with the first story of the video component. I know Scott's excited about covering that. I want to hear what he has to say. So without any further ado, let's jump into the first video. It's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Man faces no charges after races a BB rifle at a Colorado Springs police officer and he draws fire.
George, 25, shots fired, shots fired.
Oh,
George 25. I've got one Hispanic male with an AK style rifle. Hey, it's him, it's him.
We need help, we need help.
It's him.
Two people are shot.
Get on your face.
Two people are shot, I promise.
I got a lot of questions about this. So we're in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Just out of curiosity, Chief, how far is that from where you're at in Colorado?
It's a little over an hour's drive. Pretty pleasant drive. And a great city and a great police department.
Okay. So this guy who was detained after raising an AK-style BB rifle, and no one knew it was a BB rifle. I mean, we know in hindsight, but I don't want people to get an impression from the article that the cop knew that this was not, you know, a bona fide firearm. But he raises this at a Colorado Springs police officer, not just once, not just twice. I saw him do it at least three times. And the cop injured two other people and a gunfire response. And this bad guy that started all this by pointing this rifle at the cop is not facing charges or being identified, according to a significant event briefing by the department on Wednesday. And this guy should be dead. He should have been killed. You know, the cop should have shot to stop the threat, which would have resulted in the bad guy dying. And instead, two other civilians get hurt. Just blows my mind. So Officer Austin Hornberger was attempting to make contact with a 911 caller when two armed males and a female stepped into an outdoor walkway between them. As the cops approaching the complainant, these people come in like from a stairwell, open up a door, and they're walking in, and the two dudes are armed, and they got a female with them, and they got rifles. It was crazy, and this happened on November the 13th. So during the reporting call, the caller stated that a man had threatened to return with a gun after assaulting someone earlier in the day and had come back banging on his door. 4 seconds after the people enter the walkway, and again, remember, officers walking down this elevated balcony towards an open door with a guy there who's the complainant. And then to the left, a door opens up before he gets to the complainant. And these three people, the two dudes with rifles and then a female, just kind of walk between the cop and the complainant. And these guys have got rifles. And then the main guy with the AK, the one looks like the AK-47, raises it and actually points it at the cop. So that guy points at the cop. The cop, the officer, runs to the railing of the second floor walkway about a minute later. But this is the cop returns fire, strikes two people that are next to this guy, retreats down the flight of stairs. And while he's downstairs, the guy that had pointed the rifle at him comes over the railing from the upstairs. Cop recognizes as him being the guy who had previously had the rifle that pointed at him. But this guy's saying, hey, look, there's a couple people shot and they need help. So that's the way it goes down. Officers recovered a Crossman AK-1 full auto air cartridge BB gun and two other edge weapons that were consistent with the object that the male who was shot was seen carrying. The person with the rifle was questioned and later released without charges. We got two people shot, and we've got at minimal, three ag assault charges, and they don't, you know, and they don't charge this guy. So that's the way this goes down. Whoever wants to jump in on this first, but Scott, you want to take it?
Yeah, I'll just, first off, I mean, the cop, I mean, that talking about a situation that you just probably are not in the million years expecting in your brain. You're going up there, you get this call, you see the guy, supposedly you're going to the guy who supposedly called you and everything's good. And then out of nowhere, yeah, two guys initially, and then the girl came in, but an AK-47, like, I'm plain as day, and then another guy with a gun. So you have at least two, one with an AK to one cop who's not even prepared at this point because he's walking up. He's not expecting that, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God. And then looking at it, and hey, that is a very difficult situation. So I'm not busting on a cop. I mean, I understand that, right? But I always say, if things come down to, it's like you have to be mentally prepared for anything. And I know, as being a cop, it's really hard to do that because there's so many calls that you go to and, you know, they don't amount to anything. And so it's really hard to do that. But I mean, I think a little bit more training, because he reacted in like, oh my God, he wasn't like really mentally prepared for that situation. And then when he did that, and maybe a little bit of, you know, fear and like, oh my God, like, And surprise, he pulls his gun out and he didn't take a cut. He didn't take good shots, you know? And I think that it goes back to training under stress more often, being able to under stress, be able to pull your firearm and take, you know, some accurate shots. Okay. But I understand where his mindset was. I mean, he's a guy with AK, he is outgunned. I mean, he's on a disadvantage and there's two of them. So he's thinking, boom, boom, boom. Hopefully he gets him. And then he gets back behind cover. So I understand that part. That's a very human nature aspect to this whole thing. But I think, you know, going back, maybe a little bit more training could have helped that situation out.
So I got a question for you, a tactical question, Scott. And Chief, I'm sorry to jump in here. I know you've got your mic open. You're ready to get into it. But I, you know, my question is this. So our cop, and I didn't do a good enough job, going through the story, but our cop is only armed. He's armed with a pistol. So some people may not realize the disadvantage you have going up against a guy with a rifle, especially at close quarters, which is where we're right here. We're not at there. There is an argument where if you're at too close to quarters, the pistol might actually be advantageous. But in this particular scenario, the cop fires for the pistol and then he turns and it appears we're only looking at body cam, but he turns and runs away with his back to the bad guy. He is like nowhere even close to getting to cover. So what would have been, I would like to think that I've always thought it advantageous if you have enough time to get in a prone position where you're a smaller footprint, a smaller target for a bad guy. This was so close. I don't know. The timing is so close. There's also an argument that says that you take shots on target and as you advance and close the distance. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious what you think percentage wise, what would have been the best tactical response knowing that you've got a pistol in the bad, you've got potentially two bad guys with long guns.
Well, you look at it like this, being up close, he was definitely close enough to where, and I'm just going to make an assumption, it was probably a nine mil pistol would have absolutely eliminated that. You know, it's lethal, very lethal at that distance. The best way to make a situation like that go away is to simply eliminate the threat. Okay. So, and this is, I used to train this or teach this a lot when I was a trainer and tactics. I would say, look, don't think about, this is something you have to train. Again, it takes a lot of training. Don't think about your own personal safety at that time, because it sounds counter intuitive, but you have to stay in the fight. You have to focus, do what you have to do at that moment. And then it goes away versus, oh my God, boom, boom, and then you turns around. That he's still there, you know? So I would have just stayed, boom, boom, focused on my sights and limited.
All right. Good point. More coming up on that. We're going to talk about gunlearn.com. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about gunlearn at gunlearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the best part. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information from the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz in Colorado and former Special Forces operative Scott Steyert. We are talking about a story with a video component. Our cop answers a call on the second floor of like a motel, and there's a bad guy said he's going to come back with a weapon, but he's going to meet with the complainant. And as the cop is approaching the complainant, there is a side door that opens up and we got two armed dudes with long guns and a female following behind them that get between the cop and the complainant. And then when one of the guys has got what looks like an AK-47 rifle and he starts to raise it up at the cop armed with a pistol, draws his weapon, fires some rounds, hits two other people besides the bad guys, hits two civilians. And I, It didn't really say in the article who got hit. I suspect it was the complainant who was on the right side, and the other male. I doubt that it was a female because she was just coming out of that doorway.
She was right.
But
behind.
I suspect, yeah. And then after he does a short string of fire, the cop turns around and runs away, and he finds the stairwell. It takes him a while to get there, and then he runs down the stairwell. And then while he's down there, the guy who had pointed the AK at him comes to the stairwell, looks down and sees the cop down there and says, "Hey, dude, we need help. Someone's, you know, two people were shot." And I will point out also that if you watch the surveillance, there's a lot of good video here. There's a surveillance camera from a completely different angle, and it shows our bad guy with that AK-47. It turned out to be a Crossman, you know, air rifle or whatever, which is beside the point. That guy not only raises it and points at the cop before the cop shoots, but when the cop fires and runs away, these three people, the two armed guys and the female, they go back in that doorway they come out of. But the guy with the AK sticks it out blindly and points it at the cop's direction once. And then he sticks his head out, if I remember correctly, and does it at least a third time, looking to engage the cop with the stupid. That made no sense to me.
That was crazy.
Unless it's like suicide by cop. So, I mean, this dude is not charged. You got two people that could have been killed, but you got two people shot, and you got someone that caused this incident, and no one's charged in Colorado freaking Springs. I mean, it just blows my mind. I don't know how they're, and I know, maybe there's some stuff I don't know about, but I don't know what, I cannot think of anything that would adequately explain the reason for not charging this, you know, this guy. But anyhow, Scott, you were talking about, we were talking about tactics. I asked you tactically what would have been the best option for the cop, you know, with the gun, and you answered that question. And I know that Chief Schultz was getting ready to weigh in. So guys, take it from here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one other thing. If I would, you know, if it would have been, and I got the good shot and I fired and I felt confident, you know, I hit him and those three people went away, I'm not saying I would go in there and go after with one guy with a pistol and potentially two guys with, you know, one guy with an AK and the other guy with whatever, right? I'm not saying right. I would do that. I mean, if they go away, yeah, then it's time to, you know, call up, you know, surround
us.
Right. So I want to make that point clear. So
got go it. Ahead, Doctor.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to be an apologist for this officer. First of all, I think he was ready because he got on target. He drew and got on target.
He got on really target. Quick.
Well, he engaged, I will say.
Right. Yeah,
that's not an easy shot to make. I don't care how good a cop you are at the range. And by the way, you never cancel range training because it's cold or raining. And this was a cold Colorado night, right? So that has an effect. So it's a shot down the length of this motel walkway. He really doesn't have any cover, and I won't fault him for not finding cover because there wasn't any. And, you know, you can say, okay, I'll go prone or I'll flatten myself up against the wall, but ricochets don't bounce off at a 90-degree angle. You know, you could get clocked no matter where you are if you're still downrange. So we use the phrase running away. I wrote an article about this, the difference between running away and tactical disengagement. I think his tactical disengagement was quite justifiable. It looks bad because I would have preferred to see him keeping an eye on downrange and backing up in order to find a safer place to be instead of turning his back and running. That's just the optics of that is bad. And he lost the ability to see where his threat was for that period of time. But I don't blame him for disengaging. Plus, as he was looking down at that target cluster, he surely would have thought, I don't want to hit somebody that's an innocent person. Out of those four people, there was one guy with a gun, maybe two, maybe it's probably an edged weapon. But, you know, maybe he's thinking this is not a firefight that I can do safely for everybody that's around. Now, would it have been great if he would have just stayed on target and advanced? And I've talked about suppressive fire before, and I don't think most tacticians like to hear this outside of the military application. But you know, if I'm that cop, I'm shooting for two reasons: one, to get this guy to stop shooting, and the other is to take him out to kill it. And so if I can't kill him, at least maybe I can get him to retreat or disengage or drop the gun or something like that. So the fact that he, you know, that he didn't hit the target that he intended to hit, that's unfortunate. But given the circumstances and the decision making and the environment and the, you know, the tactical challenges there, I think he performed pretty well. We can always, you know, Monday morning quarterback, and that's never the purpose of the show. I know that. We just want to look at things and say, hey, is there something that could help somebody else in a similar situation? So, could he have closed in and continued to fire until he got close enough to have a lethal shot on two people and avoiding two other people that probably didn't need to be shot? Yeah, ideally, yes. But I think tactical disengagement and redeployment is a valid strategy. And in that split second, he decided to redeploy, or as Chip says, run away.
Well, yes. Hey, I agree with that, Port. I am totally with you. He I'm saying the only thing that, and I'll give an example, just another scenario. On an objective overseas, it was a daylight hit. One of our guys goes into this into a compound. There was women and children there. There was also bad guys, right? But the women and children there, and they were petrified. And this guy steps into the compound. He's like, come. And most of the time they won't, because they're afraid of us, because they think we're like these evil people, because that's what they've been taught. But they literally, the women and children ran out. He grabs them, gets them out of the way. At that very second, four guys comes out of the building with AK-47s. And he is like, oh, man. And he's like, and then they go to raise up a couple of them. And they're actually running to go find like a shooting position. He raises up. This is probably within 25 meters, maybe 30. Boom, 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 boom. Out of the four, he gets three of them right off the bat. Wow. He did not run away. He did not back up. It's because of our training. And so he did an excellent job, right? Which is what you would expect. Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm not saying if they go away, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have been like, because you're in it. You're essentially in a hallway. You can't flank. You're in this linear danger area. You can't do anything. You're exposed. He did that. So the only thing that I'm kind of like, I'm nitpicking on is he missed the target. That's it. Everything else, I probably would have done the same thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah. So I don't know what the training is at the agency. I suspect that there's a deficiency in the training. I'm not thoroughly happy with the officer's performance, but I put most responsibility on the training. I don't know how much high stress training they do. And I almost certainly suspect that they don't do training for situations like this. And you can't train for every situation. I get that. If you have a bona fide bad guy with a rifle and you turn around and you run away like he did, the cop should be dead. He's given his life away. That was a tactically poor decision that you cannot afford to make, as you die. I think that the sporadic fire, I think that he was scared. And I think that explains why he did not get any shot on target. He hit people he wasn't supposed to hit. The advantage on closing the distance is because you limit the collateral damage. You get close on target, you're able to, we got people in close proximity. You can have, just like we do contact shots. They're a beautiful thing. We don't see enough of those, but there are certainly times for that. So at that point in time when that happened, it was one of those, it's either him or me. I'm going to get, and hopefully, you know, he's got, you know, 17 to 20 rounds in his magazine. And as he's advancing on those targets, by the time he gets there, if he advances on them, by the time he runs dry, before he has to do a tactical reload, both those threats should have been neutralized, because there were two guys with long guns, period. And he didn't have the luxury of time to, I mean, turn around. It's one thing to shoot and the backup, but now you're creating more distance and less likely of hitting your target. You know, so anyhow, that's just what I'm pointing out. It's the training. I don't know what the training is for the agency, but we got 15 seconds. I want to mention the woundedblue.org. Please check them out, guys. And Dr. Schultz, fantastic show. Thanks for being here. And also Scott Steyer. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, Gunlearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safe Air Recruiting, Two Bells and Fisher, OrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back next week. And hey, we're going to keep this going for another minute and a half. So let me tell you guys something that's going on next week. So I am, I need to go to court and testify on Monday. So I'm having producer Will put together a special show for Monday. So Monday show, it'll be something that producer Will's putting together for us. It'll be a previously aired show that we will use for Monday. And we should be back live on Tuesday.